Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
A historic act of aggression by Russia against its neighbor is leaving Ukrainians in fear.
Early this morning, the Russian assault on Ukraine began with missile attacks on key targets.
Explosions right across this vast country.
They came with an ominous message from Russia's president. Whoever would try and stop us and further create threats to our country, said Vladimir Putin, should know that Russia's response will be immediate and lead you to such consequences that you have never faced in your history.
A special show today as the whole world continues to follow the unfolding Russian invasion of Ukraine. Here's President Joe Biden just a little more than an hour ago.
This is a dangerous moment for all of Europe, for the freedom around the world. Putin has committed an assault on the very principles that uphold the global peace. But now, the entire world sees clearly what Putin and his Kremlin allies are really all about.
It is an international conflict, and the bombings and the violence are half a world away, but this hits us all. And we will connect this hour with local community members, with families in Ukraine and Russia, with a Democratic Massachusetts congressman and a Republican state representative. We'll talk about relief efforts already underway, and we'll hear from you. Join the conversation. Is this invasion resonating with you, haunting you? Do you have a deep personal connection with what's unfolding? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or tweet us at Radio Boston. We have a special guest joining us for the hour today, former Massachusetts congressman and friend of Radio Boston, Michael Capuano. Congressman, I appreciate you joining us today to lend your perspective.
Always a pleasure, Tiziana. Except today, I guess it's not a pleasure to be on the news anyway.
Yeah, I understand that. And I want to start by asking you what has been on your mind over the last 12 or 24 hours.
The future, the next steps here. I mean, is this, again, no matter how bad it might be for Ukraine, that's one thing. But does this spread beyond Ukraine? Does it get to the Baltics, Poland, whatever? Look, this is not unlike what 1936 or 7, whatever it was, and when one country took over another. So, yeah, those are my thoughts. It's one thing to have the immediate problem, which, of course, is a major problem. It's another thing to wonder what the next step could possibly be, and I hope not.
Those are staggering what-ifs. I do want to ask you, as a former congressperson, what might you know or can you imagine about what's unfolding right now, conversations that might be happening, security concerns that we wouldn't think of?
Well, I think that pretty much everything you can imagine, in the sense that most people are probably thinking about what they can do about it. I think it's reasonably well decided by most people that there'll be no military response by the outside world. But how far do we go on other things, even the economic sanctions? So for the sake of discussion, if you put economic sanctions on Russia's energy field, which obviously is important to them, what kind of an impact does it have on the rest on us once we do that?
All right.
Prices go up. And I think those are the kinds of discussions that are happening right now, is trying to fine tune exactly what can and cannot be pressured.
Okay, Michael Capuano, you are with us for the whole hour. So with that set up, I'm going to ask you to stand by. I'm going to bring in another voice now. We are turning to Massachusetts Congressman Jake Auchincloss, who represents the 4th Congressional District, ranges from Newton to Somerset, and who joined us really just 48 hours ago as we were looking to what might happen this week. Welcome back, Congressman.
Thanks for having me.
So, Congressman Auchincloss, I want to ask you, we heard President Biden at the top say this is a dangerous moment for all of Europe. How dangerous is this moment and how dangerous is it for the U.S.?
It's about upholding the post-war international rules-based order. The Ukrainian people have the right to self-determination. They have a right to persist in their democracy. And Russia has launched a brutal, unprovoked act of war. And NATO needs to respond in unity. And this president deserves great credit for rallying our allies in Germany and Italy and Britain so that we respond with one voice and with one set of massive sanctions. It bears reflection what this day, as horrific as it has been, would have been like had Donald Trump been in office. It would have been unimaginably worse.
So I heard Michael Capuano say a minute ago it made him think of 1937, 1938, when I heard President Biden earlier this afternoon talk about our commitment to our NATO alliances and the safety and security of NATO countries. It made me think pre-World War I. Those are both global. I want to get a sense for you about how dangerous it might be to have dominoes falling. Yeah, on Tuesday, you sounded like you thought we could keep this away from dominoes falling.
It certainly needs to be the focus. I don't want to get inside the head of Vladimir Putin because it's a deranged place, but we have got to ratchet up the cost-benefit analysis for him. That's why it's so important that we rip up the 1997 agreement that prevented military operations in the eastern flank of NATO, and we should move the quick reaction force from NATO to Poland and Lithuania and Romania so that they are at the ready and so that it is very clear that the United States and our friends in Europe are all going to stand behind our Article 5 commitments to one another. A single Russian soldier steps onto NATO soil, and there will be military repercussions.
So how do you stop a single NATO soldier from stepping on soil, NATO soil? I mean, sorry, Russian soldier, NATO soil.
It's about the deterrent effect and making clear with one voice that there will be repercussions. The president made very clear prior to Russian actions in Ukraine that there would be sanctions should Russian soldiers invade Ukraine. The Russian soldiers invaded Ukraine. There have been sanctions. We have demonstrated that our word is good. The president has also been very clear that NATO is an entire issue separately. And there's no reason for President Putin or for his Kremlin allies to misunderstand our resolve on this issue.
So I do want to get to the local implications. And I hear you, Congressman. And we are speaking with Congressman Jake Auchincloss here. The examples you just gave, Vladimir Putin then went ahead and did what he was going to do. So I do wonder, you've said, I don't want to get into his mind, how many teeth do we have in the steps that we can take when the Russian leader has blown through the other ones?
Well, I think we should be careful here to not say that he has blown through the other ones. He has understood the repercussions and acted despite them, but the repercussions have come and they are going to be crippling to the Russian economy. We need to go further. The sanctions are just one element. We need to crush the Russian oil and gas sector. Clean energy is not just an environmental issue. It's not just good economics. It is maybe the single most important strategic asset that the West can have in the coming generation. We also need to wage information operations. All of our listeners will know how the Kremlin behaved in the 2016 election. They sought to undermine our electoral processes. Time for them to get a taste of their own medicine. One thing that Putin cares a lot about is his standing with his domestic elite and his standing with political protests, especially in the Moscow regional area. The United States should wage a sophisticated information operations campaign to make clear to the Russian people that they are waging war unprovoked against their Slavic neighbors and that their standards of living are going to decline because of that. That will hit Putin where it hurts.
When we talked earlier this week, I mentioned to you that I'm a child of the 80s, where we were genuinely concerned that tensions with Russia would come home to U.S. soil. You have been very clear, and I understand that the president has been clear, saying there will be no troops on the ground in Ukraine. You've seemed clear so far. You don't see that risk. Am I interpreting you correctly?
It would be unwise for the United States to engage in conventional kinetic conflict with another nuclear power in Ukraine. Having said that, we can and have been providing lethal and non-lethal support to Ukrainians. We should be considering our cyber options offensively, both in Ukraine against Russian military operations in Ukraine and potentially even in the Russian homeland. And as I said, we should be waging what I think is potentially even more destabilizing information operations in the Russian homeland.
So I'm going to pause here and just turn to former Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano. Congressman, reactions or additional questions for Congressman Jake Auchincloss?
I think Congressman had everything absolutely 100% correct. I have no disagreement with anything he said. I think he's 100% on target. There'll be no kinetic or military action, at least from the United States, absent a defensive action. I have to be honest. I find that almost impossible to believe that Putin would take that risk, but you know, you just never know. The questions I have really are just, I know that they're going back to Washington next week. My hope is that he will be able to get more information once the Congress reconvenes. And my hope is that this administration will be more forthcoming than previous administrations sometimes have been when it comes to more sensitive information about what's going on the ground.
Absolutely. And sorry to interrupt you. Just to respond directly to the former congressman, both tonight and tomorrow, in my role as a member of the Financial Services Subcommittee on National Security, we'll be getting briefings from Treasury and other agencies. And just to directly address the former congressman's point, the briefings that we have gotten to date from the administration on Ukraine, and I've heard this from both sides of the aisle, have been incredibly in-depth, specific, actionable, and confidence building. I've been incredibly impressed with the quality of the analysis that we've been hearing from the administration. I expect that to continue tomorrow. And I'll be asking pointed questions about how we calibrate sanctions moving forward, what we're thinking about in terms of our cyber defenses and cyber offenses, and how we are going to be isolating and destabilizing and undermining the Russian oil and gas sector.
I'm delighted that you jumped in there, and I appreciate you joining us. That is Massachusetts Congressman Jake Auchincloss of the 4th District. Congressman, I'm sure we'll speak with you more. Thanks for joining us again this week.
Take care.
I'd like to go to the phones for just a minute. We have callers and listeners who are reflecting on how the unfolding invasion is experienced for them today. 1-800-423-8255. Gloria is on the line in Brighton. Gloria, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having me. I wanted to share, I am a first-generation American. My family came half from Ukraine, half from Russia, all from the Soviet Union at the time. So I've always had a close relationship with the country, although I speak Russian fluently. I don't speak Ukrainian. So I thought I was Russian for a long time. And then recently I got the chance to visit Ukraine just a few years ago, and I got to really connect with the beautiful country and the city of Kiev and see everything firsthand. And the people there and the national pride that they have is so heartwarming. I got to see some relics that happened from after the 2014 revolt or revolution there, the Maidan revolution, how they reacted to that. And the country, they came together just as a nation. There were people just like stitching uniforms for their makeshift army to wear. They were using army relics from like hundreds of years ago to try to defend themselves in that moment. And I have no doubt that they will continue to persevere through this. And it breaks my heart to see it all happening.
Thanks,
Gloria.
And
like many people, yeah, it's hard to watch and hard to know. We don't have much here, but I have a lot of hope for the country and nothing but prayers and standing with Ukraine.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your perspective, Gloria. I appreciate it. I'll take one more. We've got Hunter on the line in Amherst. Hunter, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, as a military-aged man who is registered with the Selective Services, this is a very scary moment because, you know, with the outbreak of war in Europe and war in such close proximity to the NATO allies, you know, although unlikely, there is a chance of war with the United States and Russia. So I, and I know a lot of other military-aged men who are part of the Selective Services Act and who have registered with that, are paying very close attention to what's going on now. And are frankly very, very worried about the future and what the implications of that might be. But, you know, I pray for peace, you know, and I think there's incredible bravery, especially among the protesters in Russia who are, you know, protesting against war. There are some there.
Yeah.
But it's just a very scary situation all around. And, you know.
Thanks for sharing your concerns, Hunter. It's an important perspective. And for just a very quick response back to former Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano there before I bring on the next guest.
Well, I think, again, I think he's right not to be too terribly concerned about the U.S. getting directly involved at the moment, but, again, something to be aware of. It's going to be interesting to see how Putin handles this. Is this truly something that's going in and going out, or is he really going to take over the country? And if he takes over the country, the next question is, what are the Ukrainian people going to do? And there's just no way to tell. We saw what happened to Russia and to the United States when they tried to either take over or de facto take over Afghanistan. Too many of the people there just wouldn't stand for it. And over time, they won. I just have no idea whether that would be the same case in Ukraine or not. And if it were, how long people could hold out and actually could do it. I just don't know. And I'm not sure anyone knows yet.
All right, Congressman, stand by. Thanks. I'm going to welcome back now Olga Lisovska, the Ukrainian singer who lives in Newton, Massachusetts. Family in Kyiv. Olga joined us last week to talk to us a little bit about her fears, her family, how she was experiencing this as a local Ukrainian. Olga, I'm sure this is a tough day. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here, but I wish it was under different circumstances. It's a very, very stressful day for me.
Yeah, how are you, Olga?
As I said, I have quite a bit of anxiety, to tell you the truth, because my mom and my brother, they did not listen to my warnings. I asked them to please leave Kyiv a few days ago and a week ago and 2 weeks ago, but they are not the only ones who actually did not think that something like this would happen. Today, tens of thousands of people in Ukraine are fleeing because they have had no idea that this was coming. They really believed that this was just a political game, yet another one played by Putin, and then he would not dare do what he did, sending the missiles and attacking and invading with the troops, with the tanks. There's tanks in the streets of different cities right now. And when I was watching what's happening last night, it was about 10 p.m. In the United States, so it was about after 5 a.m. in Kyiv. And as soon as I saw CNN journalist saying that he heard some explosions, I called my brother first, and he said, "Why are you calling me? Why are you waking me up? What's happening?" So he didn't hear anything. He didn't know. And I said, "Well, look at the news." And then he says, "It's okay. I'm fine." But then I called my mom, and as I was calling my mom, as I was speaking, she opened windows and I myself heard the explosions. And she said that she, earlier had left, her apartment to take her cat out for a walk. And she was shocked to hear explosions, and even the car alarms went off, in the neighborhood from the impact. And so she was wondering what is going on. And of course, I explained to her, because you would not believe the disinformation in Ukraine. A lot of people were still, hopeful that this was just a mind game or political game. And not many people actually thought that it was time to leave. So
where are they today, Olga?
So they are in Kyiv still. I'm telling them to leave. The thing is, martial law is in effect right now. So the now at 10 p.m., which is right now, it's 10:24. There are 7 hours ahead. So you cannot be outside anymore unless you have proper documentation. And also, they did try to leave today, but it was totally gridlocked. Everything in Kyiv, they could not leave. And in addition to that, there is no more gas. All the gas stations have run out of gas. There is huge lines. People are lost, confused. They go to the bomb shelters or the subway stations. Children are crying. So it's a total chaos, because this nation, they were not ready mentally, prepared psychologically. There was always this hope. So
are you going to be able to be in regular contact with them, Olga, do you think?
I have been, and I'm talking to them. So they are planning. They're trying to think of ways to what happened, because Kyiv, being the capital, I'm sure it's going to be hit the hardest. And usually, in the conventional wars, like I'm thinking back to World War II, when there was not such technology before as advanced as now, usually the capitals were the last ones, they were the best guarded. Mm-hmm. And yet on the very first day of invasion, we saw there were explosions. I mean, the Russian missiles, they hit the targets. Thank God they were just hitting they were not hitting the civilians population, but one never knows what's going to happen. There might be unrest and all of that.
So, Olga, we will continue to watch this. You've been generous to share your experience. I hope you might consider continuing to talk with us as this unfolds, and we will be
I'll be happy
you.
To. And if somebody can help, if they decide to go and cross the border in Poland or Romania or Hungary, I hope that they will be helped.
All right. That is Olga Lisovska, a Ukrainian soprano now living in Newton, Massachusetts. Olga, our hearts are with you and your family. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Stop the war! Stop Putin! Stop the war! Stop Putin! Stop the war!
That is chanting from outside the State House this morning at a rally in support of Ukraine. We are having an ongoing conversation this hour about how Russia's invasion of Ukraine is resonating here in Greater Boston. Former Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano is joining us all this hour to help us reflect. Before the break, we spoke with Massachusetts Congressman Jake Auchincloss, a local Ukrainian Olga Lisovska, who's been speaking with us for the last couple of weeks, and we're hearing from you. 1-800-423-8255. We have Jeff on the line now in the North Shore. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I am a peace-loving person, but what I think, and maybe it's crazy, so you can hang up on me, is that right now, NATO and all of these countries should just go in right from behind and take Moscow. Just go right in from behind. He's not looking. He doesn't expect it. Now that I've said it, of course he does. But that's just my opinion. The guy's not going to stop. He's going to keep going. He's not going to stop. He's a lot like Hitler.
I appreciate that call, Jeff. Michael Capuano, you referenced 1937, 1938. Earlier on in our conversation, you hear Jeff there. Quick reaction before we go to our next guest.
Well, I mean, he's not the first one who's going to think about that. But I think that most people who have the authority to do anything like that are going to be very hesitant. It's not something the U.S. could do alone. It would have to be done in conjunction with all our allies in Europe, particularly NATO. And I think that it's unlikely that people are going to want to take on an open and full-blown war with a nuclear power. Just reverse it for a moment. If you were Vladimir Putin, and even if the military action worked to a certain extent, if you could still push a button and send 100 nuclear missiles flying as you were going down, is that really the price we want to pay? And I think that that's probably going to deter any direct military action against Moscow.
All right, Congressman, you're talking about practical realities there. And as we thought about the voices we wanted to hear today, I'm going to ask you to stand by. One of the things that we thought about are the practical realities of the politics of this. There is a piece that feels wrong talking about politics at a moment like this, but then a piece that feels pragmatic as well. And last night, Republican State Representative Leonard Mira tweeted and said, quote, "My thoughts and prayers are with the people of Ukraine tonight. May we be united in our opposition to this unprovoked and unjustified invasion," unquote. We took note of the tweet because there are reported tensions within the Republican Party regarding whether to stand with the U.S. official position on this or to follow the lead of former President Donald Trump, who has praised Vladimir Putin in the last few days. So we invited Representative Mira to join us. Representative, you are with the 2nd Essex District. Thank you for coming on air.
Yes, Tiziana, thank you for having me on the air.
So why did you post the tweet last night? What were you thinking about?
Yeah, this is, you know, foreign affairs are not something that a state representative usually gets involved with or even posts on social media about. But yeah, my heart does go out to them. And they certainly my thoughts and prayers. The people of Ukraine are suffering an unprovoked attack, something that's truly unjustified. And yeah, I went on to say that this is a time when we really need to be unified, Tiziana. We really need to be unified in opposition to this unprovoked invasion. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm talking about all Western democracies. You know, this is a time when we really should get together and, you know, get our ducks in a row and work towards a common goal here. Because Vladimir Putin, well, let's face it, he's a thug. He's invaded countries before. This is not the first time. It probably won't be the last. So at some point, we need to get together and you know, think about the big picture and how are we going to stop this from happening again in the future.
Over the last day or so, have you had a chance to talk to other members of the state GOP? Are they seeing the same need and opportunity for unity here?
No, to be perfectly honest, this is not something we have talked about with other members of the state GOP. I mean, we've got hundreds of issues that we discuss all the time, but they're local in nature. Everything from roads and bridges to funding our schools. We're just about to enter budget season. And so, you know, our conversations are mostly revolve around that. But once again, this is something that I hope we do unify around because this is bad for everyone, everyone in the country and everyone in the Commonwealth.
So last question for you. You've talked about this really local focus. This is international affairs. But what could and can our state legislature do to support local community members who have families overseas, who may be in need of support? How do you think about that?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, I can't help but think, Tiziana, that the main impetus for this invasion is mostly economic. And so perhaps there's an economic settlement that could be reached. And I don't know how to do that locally, but hopefully nationwide, it's something that should be considered. You know, Russia is a petrostate, and so any threat to their exports is a threat to their nation. I mean, I believe 60% of their budget results from their exportation of fossil fuels, mostly in the form of natural gas. And listen, this is a long-term threat to Russia, and I'm sure Putin sees this. We do need to get off fossil fuels. You know, climate change affects Russia as much as it affects us, and it's going to go away at some point. And that's a real threat to his nation. So perhaps this is the time we could be working together towards solutions that benefit all these nations.
All right. Massachusetts State Representative Leonard Mira of the 2nd Essex District, thanks for sharing your thoughts and their call for unity with us today.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I'm going to go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255. We have Yena on the line in Berlin. Yena, go ahead. Yena, do we have you? Okay, we'll see if we can get a hold of Yena, and I'll briefly turn now back to former Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano to respond to what we just heard from Massachusetts State Representative Leonard Mira there.
Geez, I wish my national Republican friends had that attitude. Honestly, when it comes to war and peace or the potential of world war or whatever this might be, it really does call for unification. This country has to be all rowing in the same direction as best we can. And just stop the political nonsense. And already we've seen some political nonsense out of Washington. It's just stunning to me, to be perfectly honest. This is not an issue where I think reasonable people in America can seriously disagree. This is a thug that has now invaded a sovereign country for no apparent reason other than he wants that country. That's just not good by any standard. I don't care what your philosophy is, or your political persuasion or anything else, that just can't be good. So for me, I really appreciate the statements he just made. And I would hope that every American will share those sentiments. And even though the average American probably cannot do too much to make a difference in this situation at this time, I think as time goes on, we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to make any sacrifices at all to maintain world order and world peace? I hope the answer is yes. I think the answer will be yes for a while and maybe for a long time. But I hope it is a permanent commitment to democracy and freedom across the world. I think we've done it in the past. I think we can and will do it again.
All right. I'd like to bring in another voice now. Joining us is Slava Olenik, a Ukrainian-American living in Framingham. Slava, I appreciate you joining us. How are you?
Good. Well, as good as could be, I guess, given the circumstances.
Yes, I can. What have the last 24 hours been like for you, Slava?
It's been shocking, but unfortunately not unexpected. As many people could foresee something like this coming, it was clear, and that was very, very intimidating to read the news and to see clips of explosions around Ukraine and of what is actually happening there.
So you moved to the U.S. in 1993. You still have family and friends there now. Have you been able to speak with anyone since the invasion began?
Yes. I've been able to speak with my sister, who's there, and I've been also using other means of communications to keep in touch with other friends.
How's your sister?
She's all right. She's unharmed, which is good. And she's right now moving away from the capital to a smaller city.
And she's got the ability to do that? She's going to be able to get out?
Well, yes. Yes. It's slow out there because a lot of people are moving at the moment. And it's expected that things are very hectic. Huge lines at the gas stations, and things are not as orderly as sometimes people would like to be. But things are moving along.
So you live in Framingham, your family, your kids. May I ask you, are you talking with your kids about what's happening right now, and how are you talking with them about it?
My boys are a little older. They're 10 and 12, and they're at the age that they comprehend what is happening. They don't know all the details, but they knew, they were aware that Russia was preparing something. They knew that there were problems with Russia, that part of Ukraine was at war already since 2014, and they traveled with me to Ukraine last year. But I'm not keeping them up on all the details or all the developments, because it's probably a little too much for them to handle.
And what do you want from your neighbors, the greater Boston community right now, Slava?
I guess as a greater Boston community all together, we have to understand that Putin is a thug who learned the history very well, took a few notes from Nazi Germany, and he's playing by the old book. However, what we all must understand, that it's not just about Ukraine. It's about stability in Europe, because he will, if given a chance, he will go further. He will challenge the NATO resolve. He will challenge the world order. And most importantly, we should not fear him.
All right.
We should be able to stand up and help Ukraine as much as physically possible.
Slava Olenik is a Ukrainian-American currently living in Framingham. I wish your family in Ukraine well. Thank you for joining us, Slava.
Thank you very much for having me.
1-800-423-8255 to join this conversation. We took another shot at getting Yena back on the line. Yena's in Berlin. Yena, go ahead.
Hi. I was born in 1968, in Prague, just a few months before the Soviet Union invaded Czechoslovakia, and the entire world stood by and did absolutely nothing. And I hope that this doesn't happen now. I am talking to my friends in Prague. They're afraid. And so we need to do something to stop this.
Yena, I can hear how worried you are.
Yeah.
I'm glad you called. Thank you for sharing your concerns with us. Congressman, Yena just brings home how personal this is, even here in our Massachusetts community, Mike Capuano.
Well, it's obviously heartbreaking to hear that, but it's not surprising. People need to remember that Prague was once crushed by the Soviet Union, not that long ago in my lifetime, and only before the lifetime of some of your listeners. This is not new for the Russian leaders of the past. I think many of us, including me, had hoped that they were beyond this kind of approach to the world, but clearly Mr. Putin is not. He seems to have an iron grip on Russian politics and government. And I think it is critically important to keep an eye on what his next steps are. Again, the Ukraine in and of itself is a problem, but if this bleeds into, and I do guess I mean the word bleed, into the Baltic states of Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia or Poland or to Czechoslovakia or whatever, Czech and Slovakia, that becomes the beginning of World War III. And to think that we could stay out of it would be short-sighted and ridiculous. That's just not possible. If that happens, it will be a world war, and if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. And your previous caller, who obviously has relations in Ukraine, to say you're not scared of Putin, I am. Part of my fear, no, my fear doesn't mean if we don't do
right,
anything.
Right.
It just means I am concerned when I can't figure out why somebody would do what they're doing. I guess I understand it to some extent, but I don't understand the feelings that drive the need to dominate everybody, when you already got Russia to dominate. Why does he need to dominate Ukraine and Georgia and Chechnya and on and on and on?
All this hour, we are talking about how Russia's invasion of Ukraine is hitting home here in Greater Boston. As a guest alongside me all hour, we have former Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano. We've spoken so far with two local Ukrainians feeling the pain of this invasion with family members still in the country, a Republican state representative, a current Massachusetts Congressman, Jake Auchincloss, and we're hearing from you. Do you have a deep personal connection to what's happening? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. So we have heard from two local Ukrainians. We want to turn now to a Russian neighbor here in Greater Boston. Michael Pipko lives in Newton and has family in St. Petersburg, Russia. He's lived in the U.S. since 1993, but served in the Soviet military in the 1980s. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Yes, hello. It's a heartbreaking day for all of us. And as you mentioned it, yes, I did serve in 85 to 87. That was the end of the Afghanistan war. I didn't go to Afghanistan. I was in the Zenith rocket department, which we were seeing our sky. Back then, there was an obvious enemy, and that was Ronald Reagan. And people praised Americans. The Americans were the idols. Everybody wanted to have somewhere a hidden American flag. And that how our personality had been split back then. And it was, for us, of all of us, it was kind of like hope and fun that one day we will be one of those. For me, it's happened. I am an American. And yesterday, we also faced another split personality for all of us, because people start putting on their Facebook yellow and blue ribbons to identify themselves as a part of the only one person I seen that put the Russian flag, and apparently that person who put the Russian flag on her Facebook picture feeling sad for simple Russians. It's nothing to support the government, nothing to support Vladimir Putin's ambitions to restore Soviet Union.
So, Michael, let me stop you there, because I want to understand what you're saying a little more clearly. Are you saying that there's not necessarily a direct tie between the sentiments of people living in Russia and the actions of Vladimir Putin?
There is people in disbelief that it's happening. People, simple people in Russia, if I understand you correctly, they won't have, in general, majority of them, they want to have normal life. They want to travel. They want to enjoy all the prizes of and fruits and vegetables of civilization. And they will be thrown back for years and years with sanctions.
Are you worried about your own family, Michael?
My own family, I don't really worry, because those who are older, they kind of like, you know, they're supporting what Putin is doing, because they feel that the collapse of the Soviet Union, which was, organized about 100 years, exactly 100 years ago, by the end of 1922, it will be, they will be celebrating today, not today, and by the end of this year, that's 100 years when the Soviet Union was established. And as Vladimir Putin said about 20 years ago, that was the greatest catastrophe, the Soviet Union collapsed back in 1991.
Do you support what Putin's doing?
No, I don't support. I'm just saying that I'm saying the other side of the story, others who are looking back at the Putin. We need to see what's going on in the mind of this man. He is in charge. He is in power for over 20 years. So it's we change our presidents, we impeach them. There is no chance something like this happening in Russia. It's like North Korea. It's like Turkmenistan. It's people who, he is one of those who have the power and mentally goes down because he doesn't have any other challenges.
So, Michael,
so this is how sad the life over there in Russia for all those people. And this is a sad life for Ukrainians, because they've been victimized of those things what's happening. That's what I'm thinking. And the impact, because of what was going to happening here, there are a few Russian stores here in Massachusetts which sell Russian products. And I think they will be, the store is going to suffer, because whatever is made in Russia won't be sold. So they would have kind of like rotten supplies on their shelves.
Michael, I appreciate you bringing that perspective in as well. That is Michael Pipko, lives in Newton, has family in St. Petersburg, has been here since 1993. Michael, thank you for your time today.
All right. You're welcome.
I'd like to pick up one more listener call here. We've got Harriet on the line in Cape Cod. Harriet, go ahead.
Hi. I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak and listen and express our feelings. And I want to echo what Michael said about ordinary people everywhere in the world want to live their lives in peace. And it's important to feel solidarity with those people who are not moving against that. My own roots are that I'm a first-generation American. My mother is from the Jewish community in Lithuania. My father from the Jewish community in Western Ukraine. And I was there in 1998 with him and felt the thirst and the curiosity of people there to connect and hear words and to have open communication with the West and with everybody else. And I just want to say that as much as it's important to stay aware of what's going on and to listen to each other, it's important also to know that anxiety and fear can be viruses. We want to protect our children, as Slava was saying before, from more mental distress and anxiety. We have to stay aware. We have to be united. We have to feel solidarity with people who are working for peace and doing their utmost to keep the nuclear clock from ticking, you know, any further than it already is.
Thank you, Harriet. I appreciate the call and the call for solidarity, which we've heard repeatedly. You know, in just a sentence or two, Michael Capuano, before I go to our last guest, in just a sentence or two, what's a way for local Bostonians to show solidarity right now?
I think, again, for those on social media, to make a statement on social media, obviously, I think it's very difficult to really be deeply involved. But I think as time goes, I think you have to look in the mirror and ask yourself, are we willing to give up anything in order to maintain freedom throughout the world? And I talk specifically about energy costs or whatever else this might be. When you shut down a significant portion of the world economy like Russia is, there will be repercussions that will fall back on us. It's like a tidal wave. Obviously, it's going to fall on a lot of innocent Russian people. But some of that will also wash back on us. I don't even know what we might want from Russia other than energy items, but I assume there are other products that are there that people are struggling to make ends meet. We're going to have to do without them. And I think that if people become just too self-centered and think it's only about me, well, guess what? Then you may as well just say goodbye to the world order as we've come to know it. And accept the problems that brings.
So let's stay with this idea of stepping outside of ourselves and end today with How to Help. And we have an organization that's providing aid and support to Ukraine. With us now, Juan Gilsis-Coronel, Manager of Israel and Global Jewelry at Combined Jewish Philanthropies of Greater Boston, or CJP. Juan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So how are you mobilizing to support people in Ukraine now, Juan?
So, you know, we have a 30-year relationship with the city, the Jewish community of the city of Dnipro in central Ukraine. And for several weeks, we have been in touch with the community, learning about their needs. And even before this, all of this unfolded, the socioeconomic situation in Ukraine has been worsening, not only because they're dealing also with a global pandemic, but also the tensions have really had an impact on energy costs in the country. And we have already provided emergency funding. We provided last week $110,000 to Ukraine to make sure that people have food security, they have shelter, they have heating in the middle of winter.
So, Juan, you have a relationship, a 30-year relationship with the community. As you're doing this aid work, does it go, are you targeting the Jewish community there or everyone in the city?
So our relationship ever since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1990 has been to rebuild the Jewish community of Dnipro, a community of 40,000 people, rebuilding their institutions, providing them with the expertise that we have here in Greater Boston. And through our relationship, there has been projects that have really impacted the lives of all Ukrainians. I mean, we support one of the best clinics in the region, the Jewish Medical Clinic in Dnipro, where everyone, the Jewish community and other communities of the city, are getting access to healthcare, they're getting access to medicine. And this is what our relationship is about.
So, Juan, if people want to get involved and they want to support, what are some ways to do that now? How can people show their solidarity in the near future?
So here at CJP, we are launching today an emergency fund for relief efforts in Ukraine to make sure that people have the basic needs. And you know, we're asking people to, first of all, share the stories, share what's happening in Ukraine, share the plight of Ukrainian Jewry and all other people. And I invite you to, you know, check our website at cjp.org. We'll be, of course, launching that emergency fund for people to donate. We'll make sure that these funds go directly to the hands of the people that need it the most vulnerable.
All right. That is Juan Gilses-Coronel, manager of Israel and Global Jewry at Combined Jewish Philanthropies for Greater Boston, CJP. Juan, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll have a link to cjp.org. Also, if you're looking for other ways to help those in Ukraine, you can visit uccn.org, which is the website for the Ukrainian Cultural Center of New England. A lot of resources and ways to help there as well. We'll also have a link there. So back to former Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano as we wrap up today. Congressman, we've got about a minute left in the show. I just want to ask you, what has stood out most to you from the voices we've heard?
The local connections. I mean, I think that more of us probably know people that have direct connections to Ukraine or to Russia than we know, than you realize, and to understand what they're going through to the best of our ability and support them as best you can, and let them know that you care about them, that you care about their families and you wish them well.
Last question, because you were nice and concise. Give me another tight one like that. What do you want to see from our congressional delegation right now?
I want to see typical leadership. I want to see unity. I think we're going to get it from our congressional delegation. I want it from the entire Congress, House and Senate. I want to be rowing in one direction. I think that's what's good for America, and that's what the world needs right now.
Well, I sure appreciate your time. That is former Massachusetts Congressman and friend of the show, Michael Capuano. Thanks for giving us the hour today.
Thanks, Tiziana.
And that is our show for today, folks. Radio Boston is produced by Chris Siderick and Amanda Beland. We had help today from Francisca Monahan, Sarah Leeson, and Matt Ledden. Marquise Neal is our technical director. Karen Schiffman is our interim executive producer. I'm Tiziana Deering, and I'm thinking of all of you out there who are feeling this conflict so deeply and so personally today. Our thoughts are with you. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.